something happened under the radar yesterday with a household Bronco name. And before we get to the guy I'm actually talking about, I want to just pass along the fact that right tackle Mike McGlinchey will now be locked in for a third season in Denver. Now, he just got done with his first season, right? But he's locked in for a third season because yesterday was the fifth day of the new league year, which locks in injury guarantees and triggers. And this is what the whole Russell thing was about. This was the entire thing yesterday.
Yep.
Was, hey, this is when the triggers lock in. And so if you look at McGlinchey, his $17.5 million salary for 2025, which had been guaranteed for injury only at the time of signing, is now fully guaranteed as of yesterday. So this was expected because McGlinchey did that salary cap conversion for the Broncos last week, where he moved about $14 million of his $15 million salary into a prorated structure bonus. So yep. They make these contracts kind of do what they want them to do.
Yeah, it's man-made, you know, and the fact that they say, oh, McGlinchey restructured his deal. No, he's still getting the same amount of money. He's just getting it up front with a signing bonus. Now it doesn't go towards the cap.
Right.
You know, it's like having free money in your hand. So, you know, it's better for him. He gets it faster.
Right, right. So he's not like doing the Broncos some big favor or something.
No. He's just like, thank you for my money faster.
Yeah, just moving some money around. Here, have it all up front. 14 of the 15. But here's the other one which interests me a little bit more, is that Courtland Sutton also had a $2 million injury guarantee on his salary for this season. And he's got 2 years of his $27 million contract or left on his contract. And he's going to be here, Phil, after yesterday.
Like, you think so?
I do. Not that it's impossible, but, you know, if you were going to move him or cut him, I don't think yesterday comes and goes. I just think this is all, but, and you could say, hey, he was already likely to come back, and you're probably right, but this just kind of locks it in for me.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a smart move for Sean to keep somebody, some kind of leadership, some vet to help out. And I think keeping Tim and Courtland helps solidify that room. Now, I think you still go out there and get another receiver that you can pair with them maybe in the draft. But, yeah, I see Courtland staying, but I would still not be surprised, Zach, if he does end up getting moved, traded during the draft.
You know, oh, really? Comes still? Up.
Yeah, I think that if something presents itself that Sean likes, he can get rid of someone like Courtland Sutton. And vice versa. Maybe Courtland Sutton doesn't want to be here. I keep saying that. I don't know, you know, if Courtland wants to be here or not. If it's me, I want to be someone where we're going to win, right? I'm coming to more of the end of my years of playing football. And just like Justin Simmons, I want to be valued in the sense of winning some games, go to the playoffs. And I don't see the Denver Broncos going to the playoffs this year.
No.
It's a rebuild.
Yeah.
You know? But, hey, you need somebody to sit there and do the dirty work, that veteran that's willing to stay and help rebuild, and hopefully he can, you know, get the rewards for what he's doing.
Yeah, you said something right at the top there, like, hey, you want to keep some sort of semblance of leadership. You know, is Sutton, like, is he the leader of the Broncos right now?
Yeah.
I think he might be.
He is. He might be the face of the franchise.
Yeah, right now, and who knows what will happen with the draft and stuff, but if it's not Courtland, then who? Courtland's been here the longest now,
yep,
since 2018, so he's the longest tenured Bronco. He's actually one of these Broncos who, in his career, has actually done some stuff, had a 1,000-yard season before, had a 10-touchdown season, and those two seasons were different. So he's had multiple good years. Yeah, he's been through some stuff, injuries and whatnot, ever-changing carousel of quarterbacks. But he's actually done some stuff, and he's got it, like, and I'm not in there, but he seems like, I mean, you tell me who Courtland is, and I know he was in a different role. He's more of a veteran now than he was coming up with you. But
yeah, Courtland has always spoke his mind. Courtland has always been one to go out there, do the work, okay? Very vocal when he has to be. You know, he's passionate about what he does and strong. He is a strong leader. He's somebody that you can rely on, that you can lean on, that's going to try to do things by example, not just by words. And so, is it McGlinchey? No, it's Courtland Sutton. at this point. Courtland Sutton is the leader of that team, and if it's not Courtland, then it's going to be Sean. And ultimately, Sean's still the leader of that team. He's the face of the franchise. But having Courtland around to help out, to maybe settle down the rookie quarterback that they do get, to have some kind of comfortability or whatever with Jarrett Stidham, someone like having somebody so consistent like Courtland Sutton is good. Now, I don't even know if that was a word, that comfortability.
There
thanks,
it is.
Thanks, Drew.
Yeah, there it is.
I got you guys.
Know it all.
Yeah, if it's not Sutton, who would it be? Mike McGlinchey? No.
Mayor?
Garrett Bowles?
No.
No.
Garrett is a good player. He is not a leader.
Okay.
And that's okay. Not everybody's going to be that leader, that vocal leader. But Garrett does a great job of doing his part and doing it well.
Yeah. Yeah, but a guy who other people will legitimately
for
follow.
Sure. It's going to be someone like Courtland Sutton.
Yeah. Outside of that, does anyone else actually come to your mind? I know we had this conversation a week or two ago of like...
I mean, you would think Tim Patrick, especially them bringing him back after being hurt for 2 years and still bringing him back.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of feel like he's a leader.
Yeah.
You know?
I think Tim has a great spirit and has a competitive fire that's healthy for a team like Denver, but I don't know if he would fall in that like legitimately. And he doesn't have the pelts on the wall that someone like Courtland does.
Yeah.
You know, not to say that he hasn't had good NFL moments, because he has, but.
What about Pat Surtain? What's your feel with that whole situation?
He strikes me as a lead by example guy, because he's just so quiet.
Yeah.
You know, and he just goes about his business, and you need guys like that too. But I'm saying, like, to be like a true leader, a true NFL leader, you got to be one of the dudes. You got to be one of the blue chip guys, which PS2 obviously is. He's the best football player the Broncos have.
Yeah. I guess Alex Singleton, Zach, would be that blue chip guy that's going to work hard. And he gets his tackles now.
He does.
You know, and he's not going to be the face of the defense, though. If they think that's going to be the case, buckle up.
They did have him on the promo on game day. Remember that when people were going crazy online?
They did. Russ is going to come here week one. That's right.
But, yeah, it's probably just at the end of the day, Sutton. Unless PS2 develops into a little bit more charismatic and vocal. And not even charismatic, but just vocal and mean what you say and be willing to make people uncomfortable. Leadership is not just about giving the rah-rah speech in the huddle. Like, can you make someone feel uncomfortable? Not because you want to, but because you know that it's right. You know, holding people accountable. Say, hey, dude, you're not, you know, you're shortcutting it there. Or, hey, aren't, you know, whatever. Everything that comes up within the day or on game day. Sutton strikes me as the guy. We'll see. We'll see.
Time will tell.
Maybe Bo Nix will come and take over.
Uh-oh.
Like, no, it's my voice now.
Or the real MPJ, Michael Penix Jr.
Hey, you want to know what? I'm more open to Michael Penix Jr. than I was just 2 weeks ago.
Look at you.
Because the other options have dried up. They're turning on the lights.
I can't believe you, man.
They're turning on the lights at the bar.
When we first started this, you were all on Michael Penix Jr.
I loved Michael Penix Jr.
You did.
During the season, absolutely. He was my favorite quarterback to watch of any quarterback in this class. It was actually Michael Penix Jr. on a week-by-week basis. But you got two ACLs.
So you're that cheating girlfriend. You're that cheating girlfriend.
No, I don't trust him because of his history with the two ACLs and two shoulders.
You're supposed to ride with him no matter what. If you're a ride or die.
No, I'm not. I'm not married. I just had a wandering eye like Michael Penix Jr. But I will say I'm more open to it because the lack of options. I think you trade back and still get Michael Penix Jr. and get a player.
You might. Remember this, because if Michael Penix Jr. becomes the Denver Broncos and he does really, really well, I'm going to be looking at you every day.
Phil, if the Broncos get a quarterback and he does really, really well, you think I'll be worried about how you're looking at me?
No, I'm going to be worried about
7 years.
Michael Penix Jr., because now you're going to have to sit here and be his girlfriend again.
Dude, when I watched that guy in game days, he could play.
He could.
Yeah. Did he struggle against the best defense in the country in the national championship? Yeah, he did. He did. But there's a larger sample size. I'm not going to just reduce him down to his worst game. All right. the contrast of what took place last year for one of our teams here in Colorado against what's taking place right now is kind of wild. We'll try to make some sense of it coming up next. Havana, oh, na, na. Hey. Half of my heart is in Havana, oh, na, na. The contrast of what took place last year for one of our teams and what is taking place right now is pretty interesting.
Interesting. It's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing.
Well, we're going to try to make some sense of it. Last year, as bad as the history of the Colorado Rockies have been, it actually never got as bad as it did last year, where there was always someone worse. And I actually still think there was someone worse than the Rockies last year. Did they finish with the dead last record?
I think the A's were worse than the Rockies were.
A's.
By a couple games, A's. Yeah. The A's were atrocious.
Yes.
The A's need to go back to what they did in Moneyball. That's what they needed to do.
You know, the Rockies could take a page out of that old Moneyball.
Yes, they can.
But it's kind of wild and also hilarious that you have the worst Rocky season of all time, where they lost 100 games for the first time in team history. And this weekend, we found out that manager Bud Black is in talks for an extension. And it's wild because...
What are we doing?
This would not happen anywhere else.
No.
Anywhere else. And you can think of, like, if you wanted to do, like, a cross-sport analogy, imagine, like, Dave Canales, like, for the Carolina Panthers, like, getting extended.
Yeah.
Like, you were so bad. Nah, I'm just going to sign you up for more. Now, I'm not saying Bud Black is at fault, but it is just kind of funny contrast.
Yeah, Zach, anywhere you go in life, if you don't succeed in your job, okay, whether it's in sports, whether it's in business, you're not going to have a job. With the Colorado Rockies, you could be the worst team pretty much in the MLB or the second worst team.
Mm-hmm.
And get extended as the manager.
It's true.
I want that job.
Yeah. That's good living.
Oh, yeah. Just go out there, you guys.
If you can get that work.
Swing away.
That is good work. That is good work. The two sides are, quote, talking, per an MLB.com report. Neither commented on the specifics. Bud Black is entering the final season of his current contract. And it seems as though there is some movement towards getting this deal done. Opening day is this month, right? Isn't it later this month?
It's next Thursday. Yeah, we're here.
Best time.
Wait. It's a week from this coming Thursday.
It's a week from this coming Thursday, yeah. Home opener the following Friday after that.
Right. Okay, that's what I'm confusing in my head. I'm like, so I believe we might be back downtown, and we don't have a specific announcement yet, but we may be down there, which is one of my favorite days of the year.
Oh, you keep hyping it up. You keep talking about it.
It is one of these things, like, if we're, and I mentioned this to some folks, like, hey, if we're not going to be downtown, I'll take the day off. I'll be downtown.
Oh, yeah. You threaten everybody.
That is it. I didn't threaten anyone.
Don't care how I'm going down.
But, so Bud Black, last year of his contract, looks like he's going to get extended. The Rockies, man. The Rockies.
It makes me angry, but you have to laugh about it. You know when sometimes you get so mad at something, you just got to, like, you're down and out, so you just have to, like, look at it and laugh at it? Like, right now in the MLB world, we're the laughing stock.
Oh, yeah. Well, honestly, yes. When you're forcibly brought up, you're a laughing stock.
Mm.
But if you're not brought up, you're in the blind spot. No one thinks about the Rockies to even talk about them. But when you are forcibly brought up, yes, they are a laughingstock, and I hate it. Phil, the Rockies were, when I first moved to Denver, I was not like, hey, I'm got a job in Denver. I'm going to become a Denver sports fan.
Yeah.
Naturally wired like that, and it took some years of, like, just, like, falling in love organically. I wasn't going to force anything.
You don't want to sit here and be fans of nothing that's not good, better than what you have, you know, over there in Albany.
Well, we don't even have pro sports in Albany. But what I wasn't going to do is just show up and be a chameleon and be like, I'm the biggest Denver sports fan now because I got a job in Denver. I just wasn't going to do that. And it naturally happened. And now I'm a fan of all our teams, basically. And I've lived here for years. But the Rockies were the first, man, because when I first showed up, and it was 2017, and the year had just started, and showed up right around now, it was basically like 2 weeks ago or whatever, And the first like live event we did was going out, and it was Rockies opening day. And after six losing seasons, the Rockies popped. They were good.
Yeah.
They had a solid core.
Yeah, they're good.
They would win
juju,
games.
Man.
Yeah, man. And I've told the story before, but my wife didn't want to bail on her students. She was teaching a class back in New York. She did not want to bail on her students in the middle of the year and give them that like, you know, Miss Ashley's not your teacher anymore. So she wanted to finish the year for her kids. So I moved out here. I was solo dolo. And I was down at Coors Field almost every night, loving it, like falling in love. And it hurts me that this is where we're at, that we're laughing about Bud Black getting extended. But we have no choice. It's like, what else are we going to do?
Oh,
cry?
For sure. Like, what else are we going to do? The Colorado Rockies had a grade of an F. I've never seen that, Zach.
Yes.
Truly.
Yes.
I've never seen somebody give a team, whether it's Colorado Avalanche, the Denver Nuggets, ever an F.
Yeah. That's what the Rockies got this past year. By the way, I think it was like Fangraphs or Yahoo or whatever.
They lose 100 games this year as well. They're supposed to.
Phil, here's the kicker. Their over-under total has been set at 60.5. They can hit their over and still lose 100
See,
games.
What are we doing?
That is so funny. What do you guys think behind the this is like, I got to tag you guys in here.
I feel bad because, like, I don't want this to sound harsh on Bud Black because none of this is Bud Black's fault.
No.
Actually, Bud Black could be, like, he has been a good manager in the past.
Love, buddy.
And he's a good dude. You root for the guy. He just hasn't been set up for success. Now, I look at the Rockies organization as a whole and say, all right, there's pieces around here to kind of build with. Like,
there actually
they got some young, like, the pipeline in the minor leagues, not great. But some of the guys that are on the big league roster,
Ezekiel Tovar, Nolan Jones,
yeah, Montero, the first baseman,
yep,
like
Diaz.
Elias Diaz, like,
yep.
there's some dudes to work right here. So maybe, all right, maybe they're looking and saying, you know, 2-3 years down the road, there could be something here, and they want a veteran manager like Bud Black to kind of steer the ship. I'm trying to be optimistic here and not just laugh at it.
Bud Black is in a great situation.
He is
doing what Dick Monfort wants him to do.
Yeah.
Lose games, bring everybody to the field.
I'll agree with the second part.
Bring everybody to the field. It's not his fault. He's just a placeholder. He can't do anything at this point.
No.
So it's not like he's losing games on purpose. He just sits there, collects his money. He knows he has no say, which I love his job. I'm going to see if I can be his assistant.
Yeah, he's just kind of there. But there's no who would you bring in? Who would you bring in that's going to flip the it's not on Bud. So I don't want this come the wrong way, like we're beating up Bud Black by any means.
It's not his issue right now.
KJ, what are you seeing on the RamosLaw.com text line?
All right, first off, the entire text line has a message from Jerry Jones.
Get your damn act together.
And then secondly, from the 318, have some perspective, fellas. Sometimes you have to invest in people and their potential, not their immediate output. So how long does potential last?
I mean, Buddy's been here for like 8 years. He's 66. I mean, is there like potential that's about to pop up? I like Bud Black.
No, it's not him again. Like we said, but if this was the Denver Broncos, which it is, we're through. How many coaches now? How many coaches are we through?
For the Rockies?
Well, no, or for the Broncos.
Oh, a lot.
Yeah, but for the Rockies, we're about to extend somebody and we're losing a lot of games.
Yeah.
Guys, I'll ask the question. Who makes the playoffs first, the Rockies or the Broncos? Because they're
Broncos.
They're heading down the same trajectory.
Broncos.
Okay.
Yeah.
Broncos.
NFL, you can switch on a dime. Right?
Exactly. You can turn it quicker. Baseball is like similar to like a pro basketball where it's a build. It's a build up. It's very rarely like, oh, the same group of guys just pop. NFL, you can turn and burn real quick. So I think the Broncos, but the fact that I have to think about that, and let me just say this. Until this past year, the Rockies, in the last 7 years, have had a better winning percentage than the Broncos for 6 years in a row leading up to this past year, have made the playoffs multiple times since the Broncos last made the playoffs.
Yeah.
But hilarious. Hey, you want to know what? Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Everything's going to be fine. Brandon Rodgers is hitting 400 in spring training. Everything's going to be okay. All right. The madness is upon us. We'll get you up to speed on what you may have missed this season and get you ready on what you need to know before you fill out your bracket. Coming up next. The madness is upon us. Man, what a fun time of year, Mr. Philip Lindsay. Your Buffaloes, man, up there in Boulder.
Going dancing.
men and women going dancing together for the first time in over 10 years. 2013 was the last year like this.
Man, the time has come. Coach J.R. Payne for the women's side, she's done a great job with those women. And I got to witness it, you know, when I was up there in Boulder. The way she coaches, the way she loves those women, it's contagious. And then my guy, Tab Boyle, who has a lot of respect for me, and I have a lot of respect for him.
Yeah.
He does a great job with those men, and they love him, and they play for him. And there has to be a certain guy that plays for Coach Tad. They have to be able to be gritty, but they have to be able to want to play defense. And I think that's what they're getting out of these young men now, Zach, is they're playing defense. They're doing the little things right. They're not making those mistakes. And Coach Tad Boyle had done something great, which was have Cody Williams come off the bench.
Yeah.
You know, Cody Williams is a great talent. He was supposed to go number one. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I don't see that happening either.
But he'll go, right?
Oh, yeah, he'll be a top 10 pick.
Yeah, he'll go.
Yeah.
But Tad Boyle had to make a tough decision, but the right decision. And that's what great coaches do. They make the right decisions for their team. And it's a team thing. And so now they're winning games.
Yeah, and credit to Cody Williams, too, for, you know, swallowing his pride a little bit and being willing to come off the bench.
Yeah.
I mean, he's, you know, 19 years old, probably views himself very highly, has achieved a ton of success. His older brother plays for the Thunder. You're getting told you're going to be the number one pick, and you're coming off the bench for CU. Probably didn't see that coming, you know, when he first signs on. Yeah. But his willingness to play his role. You know, Tad Boyle said something so interesting to me because I don't think I've heard it phrased like this that I can recall. Is he was up there and he's sitting next to KJ Simpson and I actually forget who the other guy was, but he said, before you find out who you can win with, you need to find out who you can lose with, and see who these guys really are. And he's like, and I'll go down with these guys. I said, whoa. I said, I don't think I've ever really like heard that. And we knew there was some tough times at CU basketball this year. They, at one point in time, they were one of the talks of the early season. They were ranked as high as 18th in the country. And then kind of things
fizzled out.
Yeah. And then down the back stretch with just enough time. And it started with an overtime comeback win against USC on the road.
Light it up.
And that was like a domino that fell and a linchpin. And then they didn't lose until a Saturday night against Oregon, who they had already beaten here and in Eugene, had to beat them for a third time. That's just hard.
Yeah.
That's just hard to beat a team three times. But they did enough. They punched their ticket. So good for Tad Boyle. 24 wins. That is a school record. If they win tomorrow night, they're going to win that 25th game, and that will be a new single-season school record.
Now, is it tomorrow night or is it Wednesday?
Excuse me. Thank you.
CSU, right?
Thank you. Yes. Okay. CU is on Wednesday night.
We're spoiled,
night.
Man.
CSU is tomorrow night. Let's real quick tell our listeners what they need to know. So the Buffs traveled to Dayton today. They just got there about an hour or so ago. They're going to play in that first four. They're going to play Boise State Wednesday night, 7 o'clock Mountain Time on True TV. All right. And if they win, they'll earn the 10 seed in the South region and match up against 7th seeded Florida on Friday. And that'll be while we're on the air.
Okay.
So that'll be kind of cool. And then for CSU. For CSU, the Rams will be a 10 seed in the Midwest region. They're going to face Virginia in the first four or quote-unquote play-in game, depending on how much respect you put on that early round. The game will be played again tomorrow night, and if they win, they'll face number 7 Texas Longhorns in Charlotte on Thursday. The Rams were actually the last team in the entire country to make the field of 68. We just assumed that they were good.
For sure.
We were wrong.
Were you shocked?
Yes.
Okay.
I was. I mean, at one point, Colorado State was the 13th ranked team in the country. They're a 24-win team with some legit victories over, you know, top 10 Creighton team and a few others. So, but Nico Medved does a great job up there since coming into the fold, man. He's now brought the Rams to the NCAA tournament for the second time in the last 3 years. And, man, here we go, man. Their last win in March Madness came 2013 against Missouri. So CU's doing something that they haven't done in over 10 years, men and women both in the tourney.
Yep.
CSU has a chance to do something that they haven't done in over 10 years, and that's win a game in the tournament.
Now, for the men, CU, CSU, who has it tougher, Zach? Whose road is tougher at this point? I know both are tough. Both are tough.
That's a good question. Whew. I'm going to say...
I think I know what you're going to say.
I'm going to say the Rams have it tougher.
I knew you were going to say that.
Against Virginia. And I know Virginia didn't have a great year, but Tony Bennett, great coach. They're so defensive-minded, such a tradition, such a culture. And when they tip off, I think CU will be the favorite. Actually, we gotta look this up. Who's favorite? Who's not? Yeah. I bet CU is a small favorite. I don't know, so don't quote me. And I'd be willing to bet CSU is a small underdog. So just because they're playing up against an ACC opponent, I'll say CSU has the tougher road.
Yeah, and when I was looking at the Boise State, you know, they you don't think? You think CU, huh, KJ?
No, I was buzzing them on the favorites.
Oh.
Is CU...
They're both favorite.
They're both favored, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the spreads?
Yes.
Okay, hold on. Let's guess. let's see.
Zach likes the guessing game.
Do you have CU in front of you?
Yeah.
I'll say, you already told me they're a favorite. I'll say they are a 3.5-point favorite.
I'm going to say 2.5-point favorite.
Oh, what is it?
Yeah, he said it. 2.5.
2.5.
Yeah.
And what about?
Close one.
It is close, so that's a bucket. And then CSU, you said, is a favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I'll guess they are. I'm gonna go with the same number. I'll say 3.5.
Ooh. I'm gonna go with 2.5.
Stop. Is that what it is? 2.5.
I'm not even kidding.
So both Colorado teams on the men's side are both in the tournament. They're both in the first four, and they're both 2.5-point favorites.
And they're both playing against teams that are number 7. If they win, if they both win, they gotta go against the number 7. This is deja vu, man.
Yeah, it'd be 7-seeded Florida or...
7-seeded Texas. That's crazy.
That is fun. And I personally like it that CSU is on the main stage. Now, they'd rather be in just the round of 64 that starts on Thursday, but you have an opportunity to register a tournament win, and more people will watch that because everyone's so anxious to start watching the NCAA tournament. They'll watch Colorado State tomorrow night on national TV. They'll get a viewership number, and then you got a chance to win a game. Put yourself in the Thursday games, and then for same thing for CU. You kind of get your own space on the main stage with that limelight for yourself. Wouldn't be the way that they would draw it up, but for me as a consumer and a fan and someone who does this job, I think we're winning here.
We are. We're winning. And both teams have the ability to win these games, go to the next round. And if CSU can win, my man's going to have his name in the rafters.
Oh, Isaiah Stevenson.
Yes, Isaiah Stevenson. He should already.
Yeah.
Stoke Bear not come in here with the bull junk talking about this man doesn't deserve it. Or Josh.
But
they're
Josh
not
going to
be let in here.
Yeah. NCAA tournament again. All-time leading scorer. Yes. Most wins in program history.
You
most assists in program history. And they said, no, he should have done more.
They're just hating on my man.
Wait a second. By the way, man, it is that time of year where everyone's getting ready to fill out their bracket. And the good news for you is that you have a chance to win $5,000 if you have the winning bracket. Head to denversports.com/hoops to sign up for our Sport Clips 5K Bracket Challenge. All right, it does not cost anything to enter. And just filling out a bracket is fun, all right? Do it for free with high upside. So no downside, high upside. It's like the Justin Fields trade in Pittsburgh, all right? Very little downside, only upside. Entry closes before the first game on March 21st. Again, denversports.com/hoops. And by the way, when the action is really getting off the ground on Thursday, we're going to be at Stoney's downtown off 11th and Lincoln to watch some college hoops. Phil and I will both be there. If you ever wanted to meet Phil, give him a pound, take a picture, maybe sign something. We will be there live from 2 to 6 p.m. for the first day of the tournament. That's Stoney's downtown off 11th and Lincoln for those basketball games. Cannot wait for that. All right. As we shift gears here. the Nuggets lost on a buzzer beater on national TV to a potential contender. And somehow I walked away feeling encouraged. And we'll talk about exactly why coming up next.
Bang. Baby,
the Nuggets lost at the buzzer on national TV to a potential contender.
Heartbroken, heartbroken. The end of the world.
And somehow I walked away feeling kind of encouraged. Is this a little Dua? Is this a little Dua Lipa?
Uh-oh.
Oh, she's in the rotation in the bi household. My five-year-old, my two-year-old dancing around to Dua Lipa.
Doing the dance, doing the robot.
Yeah, a little something. Little something. All right. Yesterday, Nuggets were in primetime, man. That game yesterday, I was actually thinking about this because it's been a while since we even had these conversations. But there was a time, and you were still playing in the NFL when we would have these raging conversations. So you weren't worried about us. But there was a time where a big talking point in Denver among fans and Denver media is that the Nuggets are not featured on national TV. And the schedule would come out. Kamaji, you remember this? Like, the schedule would come out. We'd be like, the Nuggets only have 5 games a whole year on national TV.
We'd be in an outrage.
Yeah, like, they were a playoff team last year. Like, we got to showcase Jokic. And then, I swear to God, Phil, they'd get on national TV and they'd crap their pants.
They get beat up on.
I swear. It was like clockwork, and
it was like the Denver Broncos when Russ just got there.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Phil, go look at Denver and how they used to do on Christmas Day before the championship. Like,
oh, they were cashed out.
It was bad.
The Grinch came.
They just had no interest in putting the Nuggets on national TV. Now, yeah. I mean, we had a stretch in the last 2 weeks where the Nuggets had 4 consecutive games on national.
I'm getting used to it. It's like, this is where they belong. But when you win a championship, you should always be sitting there recognized. And they're going to do it again. They're the hottest team in the NBA. Why would they not put them on primetime, baby? Yeah.
And that 3:30 Eastern start, 1:30 here locally on ABC, that's the big boy game. That's the big boy game. And that's what they were a part of yesterday in Dallas against the Mavericks. Man, we could go 20 different ways with this. But I'll tell you this, I was encouraged because I watched a team get out-rebounded in a way that I have not seen this year.
Yeah.
I watched 22 offensive rebounds, which is so bizarre. That's 22 extra chances at a basket.
Yeah.
I watched them score more fast break points. I watched the Mavericks outscore the Nuggets in the paint. I watched Jokic have a C-minus game. Jamal not wake up until the back stretch in crunch time had a B-minus game. And then you put it all together on the road against a team playing well, and the Nuggets still almost had a chance to win. And the fact that they didn't, on a hook shot
last second.
Yeah, I was like, okay, that sucked, but I just don't see it happening 4 times over a 2-week period.
I mean, that's the thing right there, Zach. It's not luck, but it had to take a last second shot to beat the Denver Nuggets that did not play well. Anybody on any given day can hit a last second shot, and it is what it is. What can you do about it? It was just a great play, a great shot. With that being said, with the Denver Nuggets, it's 82 games. You can't expect them to be on their A game every single game, right? Jokic did not play well. It's okay. He's a human being. He's tired. He has emotions. Who knows? He was up all night. Maybe his little girls were sick. Maybe he got an argument. No. Who knows?
He was on the road. But seriously, he links up with like his other Balkan boys. So now Luka went crazy. But
Luka poisoned him?
Man, yeah, maybe.
He said, my good friend, take this drink.
But you just never know what the reasoning for this stuff is.
You don't, man. We're going to give excuses all day because it's the Denver Nuggets. But yeah, Zach, I was on the couch and I seen it go in. And I didn't really have too much of a reaction. More like, damn, like that just went in. And good for Kyrie, man. Kyrie Irving, like you said in the past, he is going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
He's a really good player.
Yeah.
And things like that happen when you're really good. You make really good shots. So I think that the Denver Nuggets are A-OK. you know, they were due for a loss. They were on a 10-1, was it a 10-1 win, you know, streak going on?
Yeah, it was 10-1 on the break, yeah.
So it was going to happen at some point.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me. They won on Friday night against San Antonio. So they were 11-1 going into yesterday. So now they're 11-2.
Yeah, like, can we complain?
I was going to say, these are champagne problems. They really are. And if you want to be upset, you can be upset because they weren't. It didn't look like they were ready for a fist fight.
Yeah.
And you could tell that, like, on the glass. And, man, for me, Phil, it's one of the least talked about aspects of the game of basketball. Much like when they talk about NFL football on ESPN and FS1 and these shows, they don't sit there and really break down the trenches. But the trenches decide the game.
Oh, that's the nitty-gritty right there. That's the heartbeat of everything.
We talk about the quarterback, the pass catchers, the tight ends, and this and that. But, like, if you don't take care of your business in the trenches, your skill positions don't matter. That's how I view rebounding in the game of basketball. If you don't take, like, when they shoot that basketball and when you pull down that defensive rebound, their possession is over.
Yeah.
And they had 22 extra cracks at it. Like, do you see Malone coming out of the timeout? Like,
oh.
Effing rebound.
He was heated.
And he was looking at Zeke Nnaji like, I'm going to kill you, young man. I'm going to kill you.
Or when he called that timeout and took Peyton Watson out,
yep.
He had to keep Zeke Nnaji in just because Jokic was tired. He's like, whoa, you're lucky.
It was embarrassing.
You know? It's one of these things where if you don't take care of business from a heart and effort standpoint, and that's half of rebounding, if not maybe 70%.
Especially when you're on the bench. When you're on the bench, that's what you're there for. You have to do the dirty work. You have to do the mop-up work, the rebounding, the assist. Zach, when you look at the bench, you know, the points, they had 25 points as a bench, and you tell me if that's good, you know, if that's good enough. It's a bench, right? I don't know what a bench should be scoring.
Yeah, I mean, it... The bench,
probably like 30. I would say 30 points is a solid.
I don't honestly, it'd be like between 25 and 30, okay. 33 or something like that. I thought the bench was okay. Yeah. I didn't think that was a reason that they lost.
But here's the kicker: four rebounds as a bench,
Yeah, that's not good.
Three assists as a bench. That right there, I think, is like the nitty gritty of what a bench is for. It's the rebounding, the assisting. Okay, of course you want the points, and if you have that six man coming off the bench, great. But it just wasn't good enough in the bench's standpoint. And then when your star player is like Jokic is not doing well, he has
exactly.
A C-plus game.
Yeah.
That right there was the issue. Jokic didn't have a Jokic day.
Yeah.
And that's why they were in a situation where they lost at the end.
And
we did not create good habits.
They did not.
No, they didn't, coach.
And if any one of like three or four different things goes differently in a game that you lose by two, if any one of three or four things go differently, the Nuggets win.
Yeah.
If Jamal's just the A-minus version of himself, Nuggets win. If Jokic is the B-plus version of himself, Nuggets win. If none of those two things happen, but they just do a better job collectively rebounding, the Nuggets win. So it's like...
If they gave my boy MPJ more of an opportunity than just in the first quarter...
He's your boy now. Wow.
What can I say?
From caterpillar to butterfly. My man has transformed.
Hey, I'm a fan. And when he's doing good, he's my boy.
Exactly.
But let him not have two good games.
Oh, that's our lead.
I knew it. was fake.
No, but seriously, to your point, MPJ... Yeah. Has been, and I almost want to knock on some wood because I'm going to use the C word.
Knock on your head, man.
I'm going to use the C word, all right? Not that one, the other one. Consistent.
Ooh.
He's rounding into consistent form. He looks like a confident player. And I watched a game 2 months ago. He didn't take a single three in the game. But like Michael Porter Jr., when he's confident, he's seeing the ball going in, that first quarter... if I'm Michael Malone, that was a bit of a failure if I'm going to divvy out some like slices of blame pie.
Yeah.
If you're the head coach and you know Michael Porter Jr. has got it going just in the last month, but in that game as well, and you know Jokic is struggling, you know Jamal's not the best version of himself, you need to make that ball find Porter more often because after that first quarter, he scored 20 points in the game, but 12 of them in the first quarter. The game sort of naturally drifts away from him
yeah.
in an unhealthy way. I'm not saying run the offense through him, no. But I'm also saying let's not go entire quarters without featuring this guy.
Well, and that I think it's also a little bit on Jokic and Jamal understanding that their teammate is on fire, and let's let him cook a little bit. Let's let him – he has a hot hand. We're not all into it right now, so let's lean on him until we can get hot. And, yeah, it is on Malone to speak up a little bit. But it's also on MPJ to have that presence of saying, look, trust me enough.
Yeah.
Let me get us going again. I'm ready to go. I'm that peacock. I'm trying to fly. You know? But, you know, it wasn't like that. And MPJ's game isn't consistent enough to be like, hey, give me the ball every time.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I think that's kind of where he's like, I need to, like, I'm staying in my place because I don't want to speak out and have that opportunity and it not go my way. Then people are not going to trust me anymore.
You know, it's interesting. He doesn't have a dominant personality, you know, and it is an interesting dynamic of who he is, the coaching staff's responsibility in his involvement, sustaining it.
Yeah.
And it's Jokic and Jamal making an extra effort, too. Part of the thing that I think hurts MPJ in that category is because Jamal and Jokic have been so good together for so long. It's like even on nights where MPJ might have it going, the long-standing consistency of that two-man, if not fourth sometimes.
Ooh.
So it's like, and now let's give Jamal and Jokic credit. When they did get to crunch time, they outperformed Dallas. They were down like 13 points with 6 minutes left.
No, they did. They turned that switch on.
They turned the switch on. But it wasn't enough because you were down 13 and you didn't have enough. And so.
Well, speaking of Jamal, people have been out there, you know, upset because Jamal didn't use up all the time.
I know. I saw some of that.
What's your
stuff,
take on it? Well, like, what's your take? I understand, you know, from a naked eye, like, looking in, it's like, why would you give someone like Luka or Kyrie Irving even that opportunity, you know? But as a basketball player, Zach, and knowing that, you know, situations, what's going on?
I it's a great question. I saw some of that criticism. And I get why fans would say that. But if you had the ball in your hands at even the JV level of high school, and there's and that guy, and here's what's important part, and I haven't heard anyone talk about this. Rewatched it this morning. Jokic comes and sets the screen with 8 seconds left. What's Jamal going to do? Say, deny the screen and say, dude, you're 3 seconds early? No. He used the screen, got to an open space, shot a 16-footer that you want him taking every single time.
Yeah.
And it didn't go in. And there was 3 seconds left. Like, it, like the game has a natural flow to it that, like, if Jamal is either going to reject the screen from Jokic and say you're too early with 8 seconds left or not shoot it.
Why would you do that?
Or not shoot it and, like, dribble backwards. And it's just like the rhythm of the game called for him to take that shot. That's not why they lost. It's the being out-rebounded by 22 boards.
That's
it. But I get it. It's the last play of the game. You can have a tendency to be critical of it. That's not the reason why they lost.
The only reason you're critical is because he missed a shot. If he would have made it, nobody would even be saying anything. And Kyrie would have missed the shot he made
exactly,
at the end.
Exactly. We'd be giving Jamal credit for burying the three that took the lead or tied the game or whatever it was with 26 seconds left. So, you know what? A lot went wrong, and the Mavs won, and it's all good. Because the Mavericks, as good as they are, and they're a fine basketball team, they're not beating Denver 4 times over a 2-week period. But I will say, with a team like that, if you leave it up to just the last couple moments, they have two great players who are shot makers in Luka and Kyrie Irving. So good conversation. Nuggets will be fine. And we got a big one tomorrow night against the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Let's go.
So cannot wait. And you know, sometimes I say I like that a team is winning when they come in, or I don't like it when they're coming off a loss. I like the fact that Minnesota's tomorrow night with a bad taste in their mouth from yesterday. I like it. Okay.